الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We are dealing with the sixth chapter of this book. Part of explaining Tawheed is to have fear and hope. Fear from Allah and hope from His mercy. Also, establishing our Tawheed means another thing, where it is still part in the next ayah. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. When Ibrahim said to his father and his people, I am free, I disown whatever that you are worshipping. So from this ayah we took another important issue of explanation of Tawheed, which was basic and affirmation. Remember those two words are very important, negation and affirmation. You negate any other deity as being worthy of worship, and then you affirm that Allah is worthy of worship. Because if somebody only affirms that Allah is worthy of worship, without negating that, does not make him a believer. You negate and affirm. And this is what Ibrahim said. He said to his people, I'm free from whatever you are worshipping, this is negation. Except the one who created me, this is affirmation. So negation, affirmation. This is two things. The first two things that go in the ayah, love and fear. Negation, affirmation. And then we brought the ayah where he brought the اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took their priest and rabbi as Lord with Allah. So from this ayah, we explain another issue that comes into the explanation of Tawheed, which was?
Making partners of God?
Obedience.
There's something called obedience should be only to Allah Azza wa Jal. If we obey others against the obedience of Allah, that will be an act of association. It could be an act of sinfulness, an act of following the desire. Somebody tell another, his friend, let's go have a drink, and he obeys him. That does not mean he is associated with Allah. He follows his desires under temptation. But those people took the priest and rabbis as authority to legalize. Whatever was haram, they made it halal. And whatever was halal, they make it haram. And that is called shirk of ta'a. Because a ta'a should be only to Allah Azza wa Jal. If somebody makes a doubt to be obeyed in the fashion that whatever this deity and this authority that he will be followed, then he is making shirk of ta'a. And also remember, all type of obedience to other than Allah, it could be shirk in the sense that the person following the desire, and the person who follows the desire intends he is taking his desires as his Lord. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in reference to that, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen, did you know about the person who took his desires as his Lord? And the comparison is, lies in the fact that whatever his desire told him to do, he obeyed, and he said to his desires, he looked, I listened and obeyed. So in that essence, he made the desire as an authority over him to control. So the fifth aspect of explaining Tawheed, that we limit our obedience, total submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we take any other desire to direct us, and we, whatever you die to say, to legalize what Allah made haram, or to make haram whatever Allah made halal, that we are making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَسْأَلْ وَلِلَّهِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْجَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Some people speak with Allah after they love Him as much as they love Allah. Nevertheless, the believers, they love Allah more. From this ayah we talk about the very important issue, which was, who knows if we were talking about.
The only one that you love is faith in someone.
The only one Allah says we love Him as an act of worship. Part of tawheed is to love Allah. Part of our tawheed is to love Allah, and this love to Him is unique. We do not love anything else like we love Allah. If we do, we would be making shirk. Therefore, those people who took deity, that they love Him as much as they love Allah. Nowadays, we have people, they love their deity more than they love Allah. More than they love Allah. And to prove that, he can swear by Allah and falsehood without any hesitation. But you tell him, it's swear by so and so, he will not. So if swear by the very so and so, he will not. Because he loves the very more than he loves Allah. And so on and so forth. So love, swear by Allah, hope, and many issues. So if swear by your honor, you say no. Some people have this type of personality. So they did not even equate their lives with Allah, but they made whatever they love it more than they love Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we talk about love of being two or three types. Who remembers those types of love?
Allah for children.
Will you not talk about it? Will you not talk about it?
There were some children and love their children. Something you hate.
Whatever.
Love
as an act of worship.
Love for love.
Love for love. Let's have a time here. We have the love. It's not, we can go through that. Love which is an act of worship. And that is only to be ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then we have love for the sake of Allah. Love as an act of worship to Allah, and then love for the sake of Allah. And that comes subordinate to loving Allah. Because if you love Allah, you have to love whoever Allah loves. إِذَا كُنْتَ تُحِبُّ إِذَا كُنْتَ تُحِبُّ اللَّهَ فَعَلَيْكَ أَنْ تُوَافِقَ اللَّهَ فِي مَحْبُوبَاتِهِ بالعربية إِنْ كُنْتَ تُحِبُّ اللَّهَ فعليك أن توافق الله في محبوباته. مفهوم؟ If you love Allah, that means you have to love whatever Allah loves. Don't you listen to Majnun Layla? What did he say? He said, أمر على الديار ديار ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار ولا الجدار ما حب الديار شغفنا قلبي ولكن حب من تكلم الديار. This person is a poet. They love the woman by the name of Layla. It's in the Arabic literature. And he said, I go to the residency of Layla and I sit there wall. It's not like the wall which I like, but I like whoever lives inside those walls. So, part of love is to love whoever your beloved love. Therefore, we love people for the sake of Allah. We see a Muslim, we love him for the sake of Allah. We see him practicing Islam, we love him more in the sake of Allah. And so on and so forth. And third, we have a love which is a naturalistic love.
Yeah, that's true.
You love your children, you love your wife, you love your aunt, you love your father, which is naturalistic love. You love me, You do not love that, you love certain type of food, you do not love certain type of food, and so on and so forth. This naturalistic love, sometimes it is solidified by your love for the sake of Allah. Solidified. So you love your child, and then you see your child pain and fast, then you love him more. But just like it is solidified by our love for the sake of Allah, it's also reduced by our love for the sake of Allah. You might have your cousin, your elder, somebody related to you. You love him from the same blood, but you see this person opposing Allah and His Messenger, then you have to stop your love to him. Because who will take control is the love of the sake of Allah is the dominant love. Many people make the naturalistic love the dominant love, not the love for the sake of Allah. And this is a mistake. Many people who are not aware of the issues of Tawheed, they fall in. And this is just the benefit of the Tawheed. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, commit his verse with Tawheed. He said, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يحبون ويوادون من عاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا إخوانهم أو آباءهم إلى نهاية الآية. You're not going to find people who believe in Allah and the last day, not those who oppose Allah and His message. Because your love to Allah always is greater than your love for those people. After all, Allah is the one who benefits you. Allah is the one that keeps evil at bay from before you. Allah is the one who created this person and He created other people. Remember to that, when we love or hate people for the sake of Allah, that should be controlled with the hadith that I'm sure we mentioned that time. Hadith by Al-Tirmidhi. Who remembers the hadith or the... Yes. أحبب حبيبك هون النار عسى أن يكون بغيضك يوم النار وابغض بغيضك هون النار عسى أن يكون حبيبك هون يوم النار. حديث رواه الترمذي. If you love to whom you love will eat, because this person might become your enemy one day. And hate whoever you hate will eat, because that person might become your friend. You never know who Allah is the one who controls the heart. Allah is the one who controls the heart. Therefore, when Wahshi, the one who killed Hamza. Hamza is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He killed him. He did not have anything against Hamza, but he wanted to get himself free from slavery. And they promised him, if you kill him, we're going to set you free from slavery. He killed Hamza. And then Allah opened Wahshi's heart to Islam. And he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told him, I am Wahshi and I want to become Muslim. The Prophet looked up at him and said, well, how would you do that? He told him. He said, okay. Do not let you see your faith anymore. So Wahshi was always come to sit behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet does not see his faith. That's the Prophet. Forgive him, he became Muslim. And that tells you how a person, they become Muslim on the same page, on the same da'wah. Therefore, Wahshi, he was very upset for what he did until he went and he killed Usaydah bin Khalifah. He is the one who killed him. He took his spear when they went against him and he waited for him and he threw the spear in his heart. So that we saw as how we love for the sake of Allah, we hate for the sake of Allah. But love is part of our tawheed. Our religion is the religion of love. Our religion is the religion of love. Because we can never, never have tawheed to Allah Azza wa Jalla without loving Him. Therefore, when the people claim that they love Allah, what did Allah meditate for them? He said, if you love Allah, Father, very straight to the point type of dealing with the situation. We do not want lip service, we want action.
Love Allah, follow the message.
Say so. Then, the hadith is saying, من قال لا إله إلا الله وكفر بما يعبد بما يعبد من دون الله حرم ماله ودمه وحسابه على الله. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله and believe in anything that is worshipped with Allah or other than Allah, this person becomes protected in his wealth and in his blood, and Allah should be the one who judges him. So from that we know people, their love and their property is protected. We cannot go and tell the people you are a disbeliever or if you are a disbeliever. If they justify La ilaha illallah and with this testimony comes the testimony of Prophet Muhammad, the last and final message. And if the other guy is not on board, this person becomes protected. And that relates to what we have discussed yesterday, that it's not something that we can do easy to tell a person simply because we differ in this opinion we are just believing. There's conditions that have to be met for those and we are very strict decisions. So this person is protected in his property and in his money. Nevertheless, Allah will judge him on the day of judgment.
I can have a question here.
Can you have a question in the last, inshallah, with a question? What is it that we have finished this chapter and we go to the issues that are put at the end of the chapter?
Okay, Moisha. Mm-hmm. Chapter 6 of Moisha.
We're not in chapter 6. Chapter 8 is chapter 6 of the third issue. الشاكر قال من لبس الحلقة والقيس ونحوهما يرفع البلاء أو من الشرك لبس الحلقة أو القيس ونحوهما يرفع البلاء أو دفعه. It's part of shirk to wear a ring or anything of light nature to keep evil from befalling you or to deliver yourself from an affliction. It's a shirk, part of shirk, to wear a ring or anything of light nature, a bracelet, to keep evil from befalling you or deliver yourself from affliction. Before we enter this chapter, we need to deal with an issue that is important for us to understand this issue, and that is the importance of the cause and effect relationship. الأسباب والمسببات. الله سبحانه وتعالى ربط الأسباب بمسبباتها بحكمته التي بهرت العقول بحكمته المتناهية. ربط الله سبحانه وتعالى الأسباب بمسبباتها. الله سبحانه وتعالى with his utmost level of wisdom, he connected the cause and effect in a way that we cannot comprehend, but we can appreciate and see the wisdom behind that. And for every cause, he made it an effect, he made to it an effect. And that effect in of itself might be a cause for something else. For every cause might come out of it an effect. And that effect is a cause for something else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has an effect on everything. And the one who controls everything. Without any chain reaction. This is why we say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no power and control except with Allah Azza wa Jalla. He is the one who controls everything. He is the one who affects everything. So the cause and effect relationship that we have here, we have to understand first that Allah connected and tied the cause and effect. We as a student, when we want to achieve a desirable effect, a desirable consequence, we have to do two things. To choose a cause which is connected to the desirable effect. To choose a cause that is connected to the desirable effect. Secondly, affect the appropriate cause. Affect with an A. Affect the appropriate cause. Bring it into effect. This is two things. After we do that, in doing so, the desirable effect is not guaranteed to be realized. After you do that, you might get the consequences, or Allah might inhibit it. There may be some factors that will inhibit the effectiveness of the cause. Some of those factors are tangible, and some are not tangible. Both the tangible and untangible inhibitors are manifestations that Allah does not will for a cause to be effective. In another word, it is Allah who sustains or affects the effectiveness of the cause. For example, striking a match on a surface, there is a cause to ignite the match, which is the effect. Wetness on the surface is a tangible factor that will inhibit the effectiveness of the cause. Thus, the cause will lose its effectiveness. At times, there are no tangible factors that will inhibit the effectiveness of the cause. No tangible. Yet, the cause is restricted from being effective. The story of Ibrahim can shed more light on this issue. Ibrahim called his people to forego worshiping idols and worship Allah only. The disbelievers decided to kill Ibrahim. Thus, they gathered wood and ignited the fire to throw Ibrahim in it. Allah created the fire with the ability to burn. Allah خلق النار وخلق فيها القوة قوة الحرب. Thus, fire is a cause to burn. When Ibrahim was thrown in the fire, Allah changed the nature of fire from burning to being cool. وقالوا حرقوه وانصروا آلهتكم إن كنتم فاعلين قلنا يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم. They said, burn him and be victorious to your God if you want to be victorious. We said, all fire be coolness and safety for Ibrahim. This ayah benefits the following. Allah created the fire with the ability to burn. If the fire did not have the ability to burn, Allah would not order the fire to be cooled. Second, the fire is the cause. Burning is the effect. If the fire were not caused to burn, Allah would not sustain its effect, which is its ability to burn. The cause will bring the appropriate effect unless in the presence of inhibiting factors. The cause will bring the appropriate effect unless in the presence of inhibiting factors. Allah can suspend the effectiveness of the cause The fire did not burn Ibrahim because its effect was suspended. Allah may change the nature of the cause. Allah did not only suspend the fire from being able to burn, but also Allah made the fire cool and safe. Change the nature of it. But when a person affects the cause, he must not depend on the cause to bring the effect, but rather depend on Allah to make the cause effective. عندما تؤثر الأسباب لا تعتمد على الأسباب بجلب المسببات ولكن اعتمد على الله بأن يجعل هذه الأسباب مؤثرة. As far as cause and effect relationship, people fall in three categories. First, those who depend on the cause itself. The majority of the people fall in this category. They believe the cause itself will bring the desirable effect. This type of people are heedless to the fact that Allah is the one who ties the cause to its respective effect. This heedlessness results in dependence on the cause itself. The second type of people, those who ignore the causes in totality. Those people think that affecting the causes violates depending on Allah. Also, this type of people are heedless to the fact that Allah is the one who ties the cause to its respective effect. However, this heedlessness is manifested in total ignorance to the causes. This understanding is present in some of the extreme Sufis. They say, why do you have to work? If Allah wants to feed us, food will come to us. Why do you have to do anything? But we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he wants to go back from Mecca to Medina, he told his companion, when they had the Udhiyah, take with you some food. Sulaka. That does not nullify or reduce his dependence on Allah, but he was affecting the cause. Fa'akhudha wa tawakka. The first type of people, those who affect the cause and depend on Allah to obtain the desirable effect. Those are the ones who have the correct dependence on Allah. They are heedful to the fact that Allah ties the causes to its respective effect. Thus they affect the cause and depend on Allah to make the cause effective. The following example will elucidate this matter. A sane individual seeking offspring must take certain steps in hope to realize the offspring. A person who ignores the causes can never beget any children. Whereas a person who depends on the causes thinks affecting them is sufficient to obtain the offspring. However, the heedful person will affect the causes and depend on Allah to make them effective. Allah says in the Quran, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah says, so now touch them, the women, and see what Allah has instituted for you. So simply by Mubasharat al-Nisa, that does not mean you're going to have the children. You make the Mubasharat, you make the touch, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this effort fruitful or fruitless. This ayah indicates that having sexual relations is a means to obtain that which has been already written in the book of destiny. Also, this ayah implies that if no children were written in the book of destiny, the sexual relation will be fruitless. After Janus, as a reality, affirmed this fact, many marriages remain challenges due the human effort in seeking children. Allah said in the Quran, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. In this ayat, Allah owns the heavens and the earth. So yes, to come, female, as he gives to some male. And to some he gives females and males. And for some, he does not give them anything. So everything rests in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, now we understand the relation between cause and effect. It's important because many of the Islamic sects, they say there's no cause in Islam. They negate any causes. So I think it's told. And told at the window. And the glass shattering, not because of the stone, but when the stone was close to that glass, the window shattered. Because there's no cause of effect. But the Quran and the Sunnah is full of clear evidence that there's cause and effect. Yet those cause and effect, they're not operating outside the destiny of Allah. They are within the destiny of Allah and controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who connected them. Now having said that, causes, some of them are real and some of them are not real.